Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2, TTT. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Good answer. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2, TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is organized weekly for the purpose of having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural sciences that support our hobby, the things we do with our hobby, the way we share our God-given gifts with others, the fun we've had, the things that have not so fun, things we'd like to do again, the things we have aspirations of doing, either first time or again, or things we absolutely never want to do again. So, NET basically allows you to talk pretty much about everything or anything, as long as you figure out a way to tie it back to amateur radio in some oblique manner. So, we have several topics for conversation. They are questions, comments, things you'd like to tell us about, if you will, and of course, for sale, swap, or wanted items. All of those things are fair game. So, the way this works is we check in with our call sign, our name, and we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, for sale or swap, or wanted items, some combination of those things, or none of the above. You might ask, why do we want you to check in if it's none of the above? Because if you check in with a none of the above, we then know you're there. And by knowing you're there, we can kind of tailor this to the audience that we're aware of. We cannot do that if you don't check in. So if you're sitting there going, boy, this net's boring, well, maybe we're just not approaching it the way you need to be approached, but we can't do that unless we know you're there to approach. So please plan to engage. The other thing is that you might become an unwitting resource for the net, and that's a good thing, too. So we hope to see you in on the net at some point tonight. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter A for Alpha, please call K2BAR. No stinking alphas. Okay. All right. How about the stations whose call signs begin with November. We haven't started November in a while. Wowie kazowie. Alrighty, how about we get really ambitious here? We start with the whiskeys.
Good evening, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2UMP, in Pearl River, with a comment / mini product review.
Okay, very good. Would this be about the DMR radios?
That's correct. It's about the CS700.
Okay, I'm just writing that in my notes. I don't normally want subjects or stuff when people check in, but I kind of figured that might be what it is, so very good, Jim. I'll make note of that for my notes. We'll get to you in due course. Thank you for checking in. All right, any other whiskeys?
WA2QBC.
Connected, WA2QBC. Connected, KD2FTP.
I think I doubled with that. So, Whiskey Alpha 2 is a Quebec Bravo Charlie. I think that's who checked in by Echo Link. Your name and your requirements, sir.
Hi, Gordon. WA2QBC, Bruce. None of the above. Just listening tonight.
Very good, Bruce. Anybody else on Echo Link while I'm here?
Yes, this is KD. 2FTP. Same here as Matt. Just listening tonight, Gordon.
Very fine, Matt. Good evening as well. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else on Echolink? All right. Any other whiskeys?
WIQW, Steve with a comment.
Good evening, Steve. Welcome aboard. I got your comment. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Good evening, Charles. All right. What do you call it? By the way, I saw your buddy Bob Armbruster last night, and I spoke with him on the phone today. So, any other whiskeys? Let's go to the Kilo 2s.
Kilo 2, Echo India Romeo, K2EIR, with a request. Good evening, Gordon.
Okay, Howie. I'll call that a question, for lack of a better term. All right. Anybody else with the Kilo 2?
K2BIE, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Howie. I have a question. Back to you.
Okay, George, welcome aboard with a question. Who is the station who just doubled with K2BIE? Kilo 2, Zulu, Charlie. No questions or comments. Good evening, Dave. Very good. Any other Kilo 2s? Was there another Kilo 2 there? Okay, very fine. Are there any other Kilos?
Alpha Mike India, Tony, K2ALI. No questions or comments at this time.
You would qualify as a Kilo 2, Tony. But okay, very good. Who was the station of the double with Tony?
Kilo Bravo 2, Uniform Delta Mike.
KD2, Uniform Delta Mike. KP2, Uniform Delta Mike. Very good. Your name, sir, and your requirements?
My name is Robert, just checking in.
Welcome aboard, Robert. Where are you located, by the way?
I'm at the work QTH. I work the night shift on Rockley, New Jersey, Roger.
Sure, Robert. No problem. Well, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Alrighty, any other Kilos?
KD2CWW, just listening.
KD2CWW, gotcha. Good to hear you, Chris. Anybody else with Kilo call?
KD2GGR, good evening, Gordon. It's William and Tinek. I'll just be listening.
Okay, I got two. I got KD2GGR. Let's get you first. Your name and your requirements, sir?
Name is William in Tinek, and tonight I'll be listening.
Okay, William, very good. Who was the other station who doubled with GGR?
KDTGAA, North Eldon. Paul here. Good evening, Gordon. Just listening tonight.
Good evening, Paul. Welcome aboard. Good hearing you again as well. And any other stations with Kilos? One more time for Kilos.
KC2ZMA. Good evening, Gordon. No questions or comments, just listening there.
Good evening, Mr. Marco. Very good. Any other Kilos?
KB2TRW, good evening, Gordon. Just listening tonight.
Good evening, Kai. Any other Kilos? Okay, let's see. Let's go back to November's.
N2VZX, just listening.
N2VZX, your name, sir?
Sorry about that. Name is Charlie, and I'm in Garfield.
Welcome aboard, Charlie. Okay, very fine. Thank you for joining us. Any other Novembers? Alrighty. Alright, any call sign other than the ones on Echolink? I'll come back to Echolink in a minute. Any other call signs on via the repeater? Alrighty. Anything on Echolink? Okay, very good. All righty. Well, let me just point out that the next BARA test session, since our friend Don is not here tonight, our next BARA test session will be on Saturday, the weekend of Memorial Weekend, starting at 9 a.m., 8 a.m. Tony, can you help me out with that?
I think it's 8. I think it's 8. 8 to 10 is our recall.
Yeah, 8 to 10 makes sense. Okay. Yeah, they want to be done by 10. So testing begins at 8. Try not to be late. It will be at Westwood High School, which is located in Washington Township, and 8 in the morning during the Barraham Fest that morning. So just do keep that in mind. Anybody have any questions about licensing or the upcoming test session? Okay, just FYI, you can always go to the BARA site, www.barra.org, and you can find our testing program there. There will be a Friday night test session. I believe it's the third Friday night in June, and that will complete the spring test season. There are no summer test sessions planned due to the normal weather requirements. I mean school requirements, but do keep that in mind. Let's see. With no further ado, let's get to Jim's CS700 digital mobile radio or DMR radio review. WA2UMP, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. My birthday was this week, and I was lucky enough to receive the CS700 from Kinect Systems in California. So I was quite pleased with it. As you mentioned, it's a DMR radio. Motorola calls it Moto Turbo. It's digital. It's similar but different to D-Star. So D-Star and DMR are kind of competing formats, kind of the way Beta and VHS was, both imperfect but both kind of interesting. So basically, I'm very pleased with it. Each repeater has three channels. I'll let it drop in a second. Each repeater has 3 seconds, three channels, and in the area we have 11 repeaters linked on the local channel, and then there's a North American channel, and then there's a worldwide channel. Let me let it drop. Okay, so I can hit the repeater. First one I tried. I've only had it 2 days. I hit the Orangeburg repeater. There's other ones. There's ones in Montclair, New York City, the Bronx, the Queens. K2 Putt has one. So there's plenty of activity. The voice quality is very good. It sounds FM-like. Erica, there's advantages and disadvantages when you look at, compare them both to D-Star. The audio, I would say, was better than D-Star, and the error correction is better. It works quite well. It's inexpensive. It costs $180 for the radio. It's UHF, and $5 for the cable. So for $185, you get quite a toy. I listened to Annette last night and participated. Four new people were on. It all had the CS700, so they're selling quite rapidly. I would say it's well worth the money. It's a price breakthrough. On the North American net channel, you hear U.S. and Canada, and everyone sounds like they're next door, FM quality. On the local channel, you cover from New York, New Jersey, down to Pennsylvania. 11 repeaters again linked. Let me let it drop. Okay, so it's imported from China. It's decent quality. I would say it's somewhere in between as far as the quality. In between, it's not as good as an ICOM. It's a lot better than a Bofone. Probably Wuxian format quality, if I'm pronouncing the brand names correct. So it's very decent quality, works quite well. The software is a little buggy, but they're coming out with new releases of it. Once you get it programmed, everything works pretty well. So for $185, it's quite an interesting toy. Lots of people to talk to, a whole new cast of characters that are involved in it. And it makes a good addition, not to replace analog, good old-fashioned analog radio, but a good addition to it, and a good price point. So if you're interested, take a look on YouTube, and there's lots of reviews, and they show you how to program it and whatnot. So with that, back to Ned.
Question. One of my criticisms of D-Star is that if during a transmission you should lose sync, it doesn't resync. P25 will resync. Will DMR?
Well, I've only had it for 2 days, and I'm not. I haven't read up on the on how it works, but I haven't heard any arc detuning whatsoever. So I would say that it probably does resync. I know it has better error correction. When the signal gets weaker with D-Star, you get a lot of R2 detuning, especially when that mobile car is going up and down a hill. What I notice is that if somebody is getting out of range, the words get a little bit harder to understand. So I think that's how it compensates. The error correction doesn't quite work. Again, I've only had it 2 days, so I'll have to, I can't give you a comment on that. I would say it's better audio quality, better syncing than D-Star. D-Star has more bells and whistles and features and whatnot, and is probably more scalable. So neither one is perfect. Both are a lot of fun.
Okay, so these local, regional, and national nets, or worldwide national, or whatever they call them, nets, they're basically ad hoc associations of repeaters that decide to co-register, is that correct? So you could seemingly have, you know, three domains that are different than the ones that you're plugged into right now. But so another set of repeaters could have a different hierarchy of inclusion.
K2EIR.
Give us a second. Is that right, Jim?
1 second, Howie. Let me just answer the question. The local... three channels. I think it's three time division slots, if you will. And believe me, I'm no expert. I haven't read the theory, but just to give you my impression of how it works. The first one is local, and you can link together N repeaters. So it's kind of like what they have here is like, if you're familiar with N2ACF, where it has several repeaters linked. That's what we have here. So you have New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. But the North American... I guess there's others, you know, there's probably, and then there's a worldwide, and those are kind of fixed. So in that sense, it's a little more limited than D-Star, where you have N reflectors. Now you have three reflectors, and the first one, the local one, you can massage it to your heart's content by linking together whatever repeaters you want over the Internet.
Interesting. Okay, go ahead, Howie.
Thank you. I had the same handy talkie demonstrated to me last night and the night before by K2PH. Here are some additional facts that I can supplement with. What Jim is talking about are talk groups. So there can be, I think, unlimited number of talk groups, but the three talk groups are, I think it's called Northeast, but Northeast... let's put it this way. One of the talk groups is all the English-speaking countries. It's not just the U.S. And Canada, but Australia and the United Kingdom, etc. The worldwide group is really worldwide. It's like 500 different systems. And then there's that 11 repeater local group. Those are talk groups. What you have, the handy talkie and Moto Robo or Turbo, whatever, it has two time split channels. Each, I think, is 6.25 kilohertz, whatever. So you can have two conversations. conversations going on through the repeater at the same time, oblivious of each other. So you've got that, you know, time domain switching or whatever. Additionally, the N2JTI repeater in Orangeburg will do both analog and digital, and the handy talkie that Jim has will do both analog and digital. So you could still go on, use it on regular repeaters. I think that's all the supplemental information I have. Oh, yes, one more thing as far as quality and ruggedness. I believe there's an aluminum frame within the HT, and you don't get that with many HTs. So that's my supplemental information. K2EIR.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Alrighty. Now, if I go from one repeater to the other, what's involved in programming the radio? Say I go from the domain of a local repeater here to K2PUT, what do I have to program in to make that work?
Okay. Well, first of all, to program it, you program it by hooking it up to your computer, which is why you have to buy the cable with it. Basically, each repeater has three talk groups, if you will. And so for each repeater, you program that in, and there is a 16-position rotatable switch at the top, so you can program in 16 channels, and presumably you'll have three for each repeater. And then you have, I don't know how many zones, maybe 16 different zones. You can switch between the zones and put another 16 in. So long story short, for each repeater, you would have three talk groups, local, North American / English, and worldwide. You can also enter in simplex digital, simplex analog, analog repeaters. So you program them all in, the ones you want, and you group them into zones. So far I only have one zone, and you're on. You really only need most of the time one repeater, because that gives you the three channels, but sometimes from time to time, as you were in the car, you would want to switch to others, and that'll give you the other repeaters. And you can also use the analog repeaters on it also. So for $185, it's quite a nice toy.
It certainly is. Does anybody else have any questions or comments on this topic?
To BIE.
Or two. Okay, BIE, George, go.
Thank you. Gordon, my question last night was, you know, I listened to this marvelous rundown of technology, and I said, this seems to me, you know, quite wonderful in the way they have implemented this, but it also looks like a cure for no known disease. If there's one thing that we have at the present moment, it's a plethora of repeaters that stand unused all day long because we don't have enough hams. And I'm just wondering if adding more bandwidth, shall we say, to that fire is really necessary. Back to you.
Okay, so that's a really good question. So, George, I would approach it differently, because I think the baseline of your question is factually accurate. The problem is that because of the wasteland, you know, it's nice to have repeaters in different coverage areas linked together so there's actually somebody to talk to when you get on the air. When I had a D-Star radio, and I had one for a few years, I thought it was interesting that most of the guys I spoke with in the daytime were totally, especially during commuter hours, were entirely different than the folks I would speak to 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And in point of fact, I usually had more time at that point. So things were a little easier to, to chat. But, Nick, VE2HOT, and I became very good friends. He lives in Montreal, a really good guy. You know, implemented a lot of D-Star stuff up in the Montreal area. He's one of their technical wizards. and just a really good guy. A lot of fun to do stuff with, let me tell you. So, both on the air and off, when he came, when he was on his way to Florida one time, we had lunch, and we sat there for like 3.5 hours having lunch. Oh, my Lord, had a great time. He came with one of my sons. We just shot the bull, it was great. Anyway, so I think the linking aspect, you know, creates more critical mass and therefore more excitement, which in turn ultimately gets people more on the air because people will then go off channel to the quieter repeaters. I think that's my impression of it. Anybody else have a thought on George's question or George's comment?
KB2TRW, comment.
Go ahead, Kai.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I can say about that is that as far as the CS700 is concerned, as of March, there are approximately 50 registered users on the DMR Mark, which is the amateur radio DMR network. As of today, there are 608 registered users. So I think the question is, not so much whether it's growing or now it's really how fast it's growing.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those people are either have or did have D-Star gear at one point. Who was the other station that just transmitted? Yeah, there was somebody who wanted to speak when George was speaking originally. So who was the other comment when George came in? Kai, might that have been you?
I actually had some technical supplements to add. I think there's some confusion regarding the DMR system.
Hey, as you answer, would you also preface it with whether or not you have a DMR radio?
That's a friend. Owned the CS700 since the first week of March.
And go ahead, tell us about it.
Okay, as far as I understand, the CS700 is a DMR radio, digital mobile radio. DMR is a open standard. I try to avoid mentioning Moto Turbo. The reason is that Moto Turbo is a Motorola product. It's pretty much performs DMR, but the Moto Turbo implies a number of proprietary functions that are not covered by DMR that allow it to do extra things. Let me drop. Also, as far as time slot is concerned, there are two time slots, and there are a number of talk groups that basically are assigned to the two time slots. As far as this area is concerned, talk group 1, which is worldwide, talk group 3, which is U.S., and talk group, I think, 3172, which is a new Northeast, is slot 1, and slot 2 is the local. That's supplemental. Back to you.
Okay, so the way it's set up around here, it tends to be 4 talk groups on 2 different time slots?
Actually, it's 3 talk groups sharing 1 time slot and the local talk group having their own time slot.
Gotcha. So here's my question. If someone's using the repeater on the worldwide talk group and I want to use it on the national one, what happens?
My understanding is you have to wait. However, if you want to use the local, you're free to use local. So basically DMR allows 2 simultaneous talk paths. Back to you.
Theoretically, could take the quote local one and tie it to a dozen repeaters if they wanted to.
My understanding is that's how the local New York, New Jersey repeater network works.
Thereby providing critical mass, thereby providing activity so that people don't sit there and talk to their 3 buddies on the local repeater that has DMR users. Very nice. Okay. That's useful. Anything else, Mr. Kai?
I'm actually getting a 701, which is the VHF version, shipped to me by next week, so after a couple of weeks of playing with that, I'll be able to report if anyone's interested. Back to that.
And is there a 2-meter DMR machine up?
My understanding that there are not any in this area. However, I plan to go spending the weekend in the New England area. New England area, because of the military synthetic aperture radar system, most of their ham repeaters are the 2-meter. Back to you.
I know that the SAR stuff is on the Cape is really amazing as to what it's done to 440 amateur radio. Boy, it's like line A brought to your front door, except instead of 420 to 430, it's 440 to 450. All right, very good. Anybody else have any comments on this topic of DMR, Moto Turbo, CS700s? CS701s, etc.
K2EIR.
Go ahead, Howie.
Okay, one additional kind of comment. My understanding, again, I got this from K2PH, is that the protocol in the handy talkie, the term for it, but is the same as used in D-Star, but for some reason, all the D-Star equipment is like twice or three times as expensive because of having to use this protocol. It isn't the protocol, it's the thing that is able to do it. You know, they have to pay a royalty to that manufacturer. But apparently it's in this handy talkie, and they must have gotten a deal on the royalty because they're selling the handy talkie for $180. So that's very interesting. K2EIR.
I don't know if the 700 uses the AMBI chip, but that codec certainly is what's used in D-Star. Jim, do you happen to know if that's what's used, or Kai, either one of you happen to know if that's what's used in the 700?
KB2TRW. I believe that they use the AMBE2 chip. The AMBE2 speech codec. Back to you.
Yeah, so I'd be very curious as to what the differences are and, you know, why the licensing is seemingly different, because they just didn't get a deal. Something happened that's different. I'm still worried about single sourcing, but my guess is that Motorola is not buying that same chip, or if they are, they probably have built-in bullet protection to make sure that should something happen to the manufacturer, they can go convince someone else to produce the silicon to make it work. Anything on the DMR?
Yeah, this is Jim. One final comment. Kinect Systems will come out with the CS7000 at the end of the year, and that will cover D-Star in the first release, and in the second release of the software, it'll cover D-Star and DMR.
And that radio will cost?
Well, it's going to be less expensive than ICOM. It'll probably be a little more expensive than the CS700, but price unknown. They said I seem to recall somewhere like 250 price point to 230 price point, but I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay, and for your trouble, you're getting a UHF only HD, right?
That's what I have now, yes, and that's what I assume that the CS7000 will be too.
It's okay. That's fine. Maybe that X. I think I have a spare hotspot board kicking around. If I don't, I'll put it back on the air. Maybe it's a DMR hotspot. Who knows? Now that's an interesting question. Has anyone brought forth a hotspot board to produce your own repeater or access point for DMR?
I don't know, but I think that's one of the limitations with DMR, that if you have to use a commercial repeater. I don't think hotspot boards exist yet.
Okay. And Kinect Systems is a known organization. They've made digital controllers and other fun things for years, so this is not a company that just came out of nowhere. It's a company expanding its horizons big time.
WB2BXO disconnected.
May not ask for checking. Okay. I guess BXO is there. WA2BXO from Philly was with us for a bit, formerly of Brooklyn. I'll add him to the list. Alrighty. Anybody else on this subject?
AMI with a question. What is the model number that is currently being discussed, the $180 model?
Charlie Sierra 700 and Charlie Sierra 701 when it comes out shortly. It's, the 700 is the UHF version, the 701 is the VHF version.
K2EIR.
Howie?
There's a full page ad in this month's QFT. In the, I think of that, well, I don't remember, it's a special section, but you can find a full page ad on it.
Is it in the Dayton section?
I think so.
Okay, so it's in the May issue. Very good. Anything else from anybody? Yeah, that was pretty exciting. Alrighty, Mr. WITW, Steve, your comment.
A2QBC.
IR, your question. QTBAR.
Yeah, I'm here, Gordon. Sorry, I was on the, picked up the wrong mic.
Well, then, Steve, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that this Saturday is Barra's Portable Day. You don't have to be a Barra member to attend. Everybody's welcome. It's going to be held at Pascack Brook Park. In Bergen County at 10 o'clock in the morning, runs till mid to late afternoon. Bring a bag lunch. There's a large covered pavilion in case the weather gets a little funky, and there's also a gazebo. Usually we get about eight or ten stations set up all around the park. Just like field day, but without the contest environment. It's just very laid back. Throw your wires up in the trees, or put up whatever you like, and operate, and walk around and socialize with everybody. Very fun day. There are bathrooms, hot and cold running water, so your creature comforts are handled, and we look forward to seeing anybody that wants to show up. We've been doing it for a couple of years now. It's a lot of fun. And that's it. K2BAR, WITW.
Thank you very much. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Alrighty. Anybody have any comments or questions for Steve regarding Portable Day?
One last thing, Gordon. The directions are on the Barra website. That's www.bara.org. It's on the Barra website. Anybody needs directions?
A fine idea. Good. Glad you mentioned that. Anybody have any questions or comments for Steve regarding Portable Day?
A2EIR.
Howie?
Okay, this will be my first. I'm hoping to get there despite the 50% chance of rain. But I bring a lot of equipment with me, at least a lot of antenna masts, and it's all too much if I come alone to carry it, especially since I want to keep my rig very close at hand. And I'm just wondering how close to parking I can set up, because when I usually go portable, like for field day, the car is very close, and I usually have buddies who can help me. Unless anyone volunteers, George, I don't have any buddies to go with me this time.
Parking is very close, Howie, within a couple hundred feet of the, or less, of the operating sites, and there'll be plenty of folks there, myself included, who'll be glad to help carry and also set up. So if you need some help with antenna mounts and whatnot, we'd be happy to help.
Okay, well, I think I'll give it the college try. Thank you, K2EIR.
Great, look forward to meeting you there, Howie.
Okay.
AMI.
All right, anybody else for anything about portable day?
AMI about handsets?
Go right ahead, Tony.
Coming up in 2 weeks is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Hamfest, the Barra Hamfest, which will be at the Westwood Junior Senior High School in Washington Township, Westwood area, off of Ridgewood Road. Again, directions are on the website, and it's Saturday in the Memorial Day weekend. That's Saturday, May 24th. And, of course, the Hamfest starts early. Vendors will show up between 6 and 7. Some of them come at 3 o'clock in the morning. Typically between 6 and 7, and by 8 o'clock you'll see the hampers start rolling. There will be food and beverages and some extra special food you'll find very enjoyable. There'll be a breakfast sandwich, that'll be great, and there'll be lunch with hot dogs and hamburgers and other items. And it'll end probably around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so don't come late, come early, come between 8 and 10 and you'll have a great time. Admission is still only $5, and if you're going to be a vendor, it's only $15, and you get plenty of space, two parking slots, as we call it. And of course, there are men's bathrooms and running water available. Rain or shine, we also have inside facilities if necessary. Back to that.
Okay, anybody have any questions regarding that? Okie dokie. Thank you very much, Tony. Howie, your question, K2BAR.
Thank you. Okay, I called it a request just before I got on the net. I hooked up my one of my old manual antenna tuners to some wire. It's the antenna tuner's in my living room next to my deck doors. And I ran coax into the bedroom where I now have my station set up. I have set up a receive loop in the attic, and I've been using that to listen. And so now this antenna tuner and supply of cable is going to give me a transmit antenna, and I have the ability to switch with the MSJ noise canceller. So I'm going to try to operate from here in the bedroom on 40 meters. The SWR seems to be low enough, and since this is going to be my first try, and I'm not too sure how, I know my loop is not sensitive, I don't yet have an amplifier, preamp, for that. I'm wondering if there's a station on the net who could link with me here on 2 meters and sort of go on 40 with me so that we can compare, you know, that I can see who I might be able to work. Either by calling CQ or finding someone who's calling CQ or joining a group or whatever. And it isn't that I want to work the station I'm linked to here. I just want him and I to be able to communicate so I know whether he's hearing the same thing or whether I just have too little sensitivity to not step on anyone, you know, those issues. So I'm looking for a volunteer to link with me after the net. This is K2EIR.
WI2W, I'll be around.
It's a great choice. If I had to make it myself, twist your arm, I would choose you. Thank you, K2EIR.
Okay, well, there you go. I think you got somebody. All right, very good. Well, I'm glad we squared that away. K2BIE, George, what's your question?
Well, I have so many questions, I'll just have to sort it out, but my question is regarding the use of Jetstream look-alike hamsticks as an inline dipole. I have bought two of them last year, and I've been trying to tune them up, aided and abetted by Howie, God bless him. and we realized that we were going to have to get to the point where we would have to cut the stingers. And I said, I ain't going to do that. And Howie suggested maybe we might instead install pieces of wire at the ends of the hamsticks and prune them down a little bit at a time, which is perfectly okay. That's probably the system that we will use. However, I was hoping that I might be able to find somebody else, you know, who has some new and extraordinary genius method of bringing these antennas to at least the lowest possible SWR. I am kind of antenna limited over here, and I'm listening to Howie's expansion of his facility down there, and I'm very envious, Howie. Back to you, Gordon. W2TTT in the group, K2BIE.
I'm just a little confused. You have two of these sticks already. You have the dipole feed gizmachi for the two of them, and you're having trouble getting the SWR working, or you're asking if this would work?
Okay. I know that it will work, and I do have the, as you say, the gizmachi that will make them into a dipole. What I need to do now is to tune the antennas to some rough approximation of resonance or lowest SWR, and the method that we were toying with using, I don't know. I'm a little leery of. If there's anybody who can offer an alternative, I'd love to hear it.
Well, wait a minute, George. Do you have everything you need? You have an SWR bridge and some open space to test it out in, so at least in open space you can get them to work. So what I would do is I would adjust them to be identical in length and, you know, measure the stinger, if you will, on each one to be equal, and then just play with them in equal amounts as you mess with the SWR bridge. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, except the stingers are too long, and therefore when they're in, they extend into the little coil portion of the antennas and completely detune them. This is why we were trying with the idea of the wire, which would be totally external to the rigid section of the hamstick. But that's the big problem.
Okay, so it's not perfect, but what I've seen done when people want to have the flat geometry, they'll stick in a wire, like you're saying, and they'll sleeve it with a piece of PVC that fits over the hamstick. So it holds the wire, you know, in a rigid form, collinear to the body of the hamstick. Now, in point of fact, when you put the wire inside a piece of PVC, it detunes the wire a little bit. It actually will end up being shorter than what you need in free space. But, you know, do keep that in mind as you go and do this. But by using the wire, either drooping or held outwardly. In fact, the other way to do it without the PVC is just put a piece of string on the end, just to hold it straight out and trim away. In fact, if the wire is reasonably, you know, length, you could put like a lark's head, maybe several inches from the end, and support it, and just let the little, you know, 6 inches, let's say, on the end droop. And that way, trim that back. That'd be another way of doing it. Does that make sense?
It certainly does sound good. The SWR bridge is a problem. I don't have one of those, but hey, I'm prepared to make investments. I just don't want to make the wrong investment or make the investment twice. Thanks, Gordon. I appreciate the input. If there's anybody else who has another thought, I'd love to hear it.
Howie, do you have an SWR bridge or an antenna analyzer?
WR2W.
We'll get you a second, Steve. Howie, do you have one?
Yeah, and did you direct that to me, K2EIR?
Yeah, I'm wondering if you can get with George at a convenient time. I thought you might have an antenna analyzer or an SWR bridge.
The analyzer I have is actually the MFJ SWR analyzer. It's not a full-fledged antenna analyzer. When George and I worked on his hamstick dipole, again, we were frustrated as we put in, because we didn't want to cut the fingers. We were sort of afraid that we might be off and wrong, and, you know, once you cut them, it's done. And so as we pushed them in, it was like the frequency, instead of getting higher, was getting lower, and it was like we were just frustrated. But I think I have a conventional SWR bridge, and I do have that analyzer. The difficult thing is for me to find time. I would like to go to George with some wire and alligator clips and give it a try myself again and see where we wind up.
Let me ask this. At what frequency do the fully extended whips give you the lowest SWR? What is that SWR?
Don't remember, but... George, do you remember?
I have a chart somewhere which I can pull out. I guess I'll have to, but it's, as they say, everything is experimental and we guarantee nothing. that's the problem. I mean, you're really starting from nowhere, and the instructions that come with the Jetstream are zero.
Okay. But that they're not designed to have instructions to, other than, you know, adjust the length of the stinger for lowest SWR at the game over. That's the instruction. So having said that, you know, it implies cutting and implies some gumption and some willingness to make a mistake and all of this stuff. However, there are ways, and I think you've thought about some good ones, to get around that. A wire of suitable diameter, you know, as a proxy for the stinger for now, is a good start. You know, if you go a little long from what ultimately that turns out to be, I think you'll be quite happy. You know, start with a stinger that's 5% longer. I think you'll be in good shape. So, all right. So, Steve, you wanted to say something? WITWK2BAR.
Yeah, George, if you want to come out to Portable Day, hit your ride out with Howie, perhaps. We can set it up out in the field to give it a try. And I have a graphical antennalizer, a rig expert, so it'll show you across a range of frequencies, it'll show you where the antenna has the lowest SWR. So if you want to come out and have a play on Saturday for a little while, I'm sure we can have a look.
I do. Thank you, Steve. I don't think I'm going to be available on Saturday because my wife has got... plans. I'm sure you're familiar with that. But the rig expert is exactly the analyzer I want to get eventually, and, you know, basically if that's got to be, that's got to be. But you gentlemen have been so helpful, and I'm so thankful to all of you for your input. I remember what you said there, you know, Dr. Gordon. Start with a whip that's 5% longer. That's my problem is right now they're 50% too long, but I'm afraid to cut them. Anyway, let me just bow out of this before I tie up the net for the rest of the evening here. I have to get upstairs and say hello to my dear bride who came back from a homeowners meeting and find out if we are going to be able to afford to live here anymore. So I will offer my 73s and thanks once more for the forbearance of the net. W2TTT and the group. Thank you again, Howie. Also, K2BIE signing.
One quick question.
Go ahead.
Hey, George, we have Barra Kittenite up in North Jersey in Washington Township at the Westwood Junior Senior High School every Tuesday night around 7 o'clock. So I know that's quite a hike over from Tarrytown, but if you ever find yourself in the area on a Tuesday night, you want to bring your toys with you. If you drop me an email ahead of time, I'll make sure I have my analyzer with me. That's another option. K2BAR, WI2W.
WI2W, I'm going to take the initiative here to say thank you. And Steve, that was really a very, very kind offer. I do have some mobility issues, but yeah, basically we can get around that in the future, and I'll look forward to speaking with you. Thank you. And very good evening to you all.
Okay, very good. You know, glad to have you. I don't get to those kit nights because of my Boy Scout trip meeting, but I'll tell you, George, it would be worth your while if you can venture over on a night. A lot of fun. I've been to a few of them when I didn't have a scout conflict. All righty. Are there any other subjects for the net? Okay, just a couple of things. Number one, for those interested in getting the roster for tonight, or you know, references to the DMR radios and other things, miscellaneous notes, I will be posting them on the ComTech group. That's a Yahoo group, and it's ComTechGroup, all is one word, ComTech group. That's the Yahoo group name, and you are welcome to sign up for that. You're also welcome to post to that anytime you want during the week if you have a question, so feel free to do so. That's the way we build some continuity. Just reference for those who have been following the mesh network progress, there is a new node on St. John's, the school of St. John's called Transfiguration Academy in Bergenfield. It's on relatively high ground on Washington Avenue. You can actually get the coordinates for it by looking me up in QRZ. The coordinates I have, really not my home, but at St. John's. So it's on top of the school. And it's about 60, 70 feet in the air, I would say, and works pretty well. I also put up a node at home. They do have line of sight, but obviously not perfect line of sight because we have noted that some of the environment, the little green stuff that has come up has gotten in the way. But we do see intermittent connectivity, so we're going to work on improving that from my end on the house or on the tower at home. Drop it. And last night we went up and took a small dish and a grid dish and a Ubiquiti node over to the Public Safety Academy, not to be confused with the Police Academy, Public Safety Academy over in Passaic County on Oldham Road in Wayne. It's a high ridge line that overlooks a good chunk of Bergen and Passaic counties. And we not only lit up a connection poorly, but a connection initially between some aiming issues back to Bergenfield to the school, but we later found out that we also got W2KBF home in Fairlawn. It's about five blocks away from the community center where the recently approved node will go for the Fairlawn Club on top of the community center. That will most certainly see that site. So our next move is to put a permanent node up at the OEM over in Wayne, and possibly one at Garrett Mountain. So we want to get that deployed before the State County Fair in August. Make sure that's all working so we have an alternate method of communication. So anyway, with that in mind, I think we're in grand shape. I hope everybody's had a good night. And anybody have any questions about mesh? Be happy to talk to them about that too. And I will not be at the Fairlawn Club tomorrow. I have a date with a pretty girl going to a tricky tray, which since we can't call them Chinese auctions and people don't want to have them called that, I'll call them Irish auctions. And you have a little fun with that. So anyway, so feel free to go. It's people are there fairly often, and around 6:30, doors open up, and they'll be there around about 9:30 at least. I encourage you to do that too, and we'll see everybody soon. So, anybody have any other final comments or questions? Alrighty, well, I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. The fine repeater serves the metro area very well. And I want to thank all 19 of us or whatever it is who checked in tonight for their participation. And I'm hitting the send button on the contact group email.